Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right. Well, how many are wondering what that thing is in the front yard? It's a car wash. We're all going to sing the song, Working at the Car Wash, right? The young people are like, what song? There's a song? That's a little leftover from yesterday. We had our big summer fun, the final one for the summer, because school starts tomorrow. All the parents are cheering, and all the young people are like, really? And so yesterday we had our summer fun. It was all outdoor water activities and just a great, great time. And we want to thank Mike Prediger and Mark Miller actually created that. And water flows through it and goes all out, and the kids run through it, and it's got like noodles and sponges and things, you know, that it's the car wash. So they get to run through the car wash. And so I want to thank them, and also all the people that were here yesterday all day in the hot sun. Man, it was hot yesterday. They're here all day making sure the kids had a great time. So give them a big hand. Everybody worked so hard, and the kids had such a great time. We had a big 20-foot water slide here yesterday, and I am a personal witness. I saw some ushers going down it at the end of the day, but it was super fun and just had a great time. And again, all the people just worked so hard. I was only here for half the day, but by the time we were finished cleaning up, I was like, I am summer done. It was just... So I really just want to thank all the guys that were here for so long and worked so hard. Great, great job. And so then today, we got some big news. Are we ready for big news? Yep. You got to wait till the end of service to hear it, though. No, let's do it now. We have a new addition. I don't know if you guys can pull up the picture. We have a new addition to BBC yesterday. Pastor Chris and Camille had their baby. So baby Fong was born. He's a little early, and so he was a total surprise. He's about 4 weeks early, I think, but everything is fine. He's 5 pounds, 5 ounces, and doing well. Mom is doing great. Dad's doing well. And so we just, now all of us need to pray for Declan, right? Because he's the only child, and now he's having baby coming home. And I'll be praying for them, but thanks for everybody. When the word went out that she was going into labor early, lots of people text and said, hey, I'm praying, and so thanks. That's what church family is all about, being together, amen, in the great times and in the hard times. And so BBC has grown one more baby today. All right. Well, that's our big news. That's pretty big news, right? Exciting news. It's Colson Elliott Fong. Great name, right? I like that. And so anyway, well, they'll be back in a few weeks. And so be sure to just be praying for them, because I may know new babies mean all kinds of new things. And so they're going to need some prayer. And also, if you want to help out with, we're going to be cooking meals. That's what church family does. You can see Pastor Devon and let him know if you want to help out with that. All right. Who's ready for part three of Galatians Freedom? Contain your excitement, please, please. All right, this is going to be good. This is a good message for today. I don't do it very often. Usually we teach what's called topically, where we take a topic and we teach on that and go all over. But I wanted to do something a little bit different. And so I do this on Wednesday nights a lot, but I don't really do it on Sunday morning. And so I want to do something different. So we're studying the book of Galatians for the next few weeks. So how many know it's kind of fun getting in there? Studying the book of Galatians. And so hopefully what this will do, it will just kind of draw you back to your Bible. You know, everybody needs the word. How many are hungry for lunch? Yeah. Oh. I'm hungry for lunch. I mean, you know, what time is it? It's 11:40. We'll get you out of here. Is it 11:40? Yeah. Where'd the time go? I just started. Holy smokes. They got my clock fixed, though. Somebody put that ahead, I bet. Let me check. No, it's 11:40. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for lunch. How many, you know, I went to John G's the other day for lunch. And I ordered the fish and the fruit, and they bring this big platter, and the fruit's so beautiful, and the fish is so perfect. And doesn't that just make you a little hungry? A little bit. Or maybe you're hungry for a big Five Guys greasy cheeseburger with hand-cut fries or onion rings. Or maybe you health nuts are like, you're looking for a kale salad somewhere. But whatever you're hungry for, the point is that it's about lunchtime, and so your body's going to start saying, hey, it's lunchtime. What are we eating today? The same thing is true for your spiritual part of you. When you read the Word of God, that's how you feed yourself spiritually. So if you're walking in thinking, oh, you know, I feel disconnected from God. I feel like I'm not as close to God as I was, or I feel this, or I feel that. You might feel spiritually hungry is what you feel. And you need to feed yourself with the Word of God. And so hopefully as we study out the book of Galatians, it's going to draw you back to the Bible, and you'll maybe spend some time on your own reading the Word and feeding yourself spiritually, right? How many know that sounds good?
Amen.
Sounds good. So here we are. We're in Galatians chapter 3. We started in Galatians chapter 1 2 weeks ago, and Pastor Devon taught about how there's two different ways to choose. We can choose to live under the tree of life. Amen. How many know that sounds better? Where we choose God's way. And then last week we talked about how, you know, Paul teaches us that once we get born again, there's that, you know, putting down that flesh nature, putting down that part of us that wants to kind of, you know, not do the right thing, where we live that life that says, you know, I choose Jesus over anything else, that crucified lifestyle. And then today we're in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1. And it's really like one of my all-time favorite verses in the Bible, because I just think it's so funny how Paul is talking to these people. You know, sometimes people think the Bible is old-fashioned or it's not very exciting. You haven't read it, because the Bible is filled with all kind of intrigue and drama and all kind of stuff going on. And so here we go, Galatians chapter 3. Everybody turn there. You can follow along on your Bible app if you want. And he says this. He says, oh, foolish Galatians. Now, Galatians are people who live in Galatia, just like we're Floridians because we live in Florida. And so he's writing this letter, and Paul's an apostle. And there's still apostles today. And what that means, he would go and start churches. And so what he did, he started this church of Galatians. He got them all sorted out. He told them, listen, it's by Jesus. You need Jesus to be saved. That's how you get to be a born-again Christian, is by Jesus. And so then what happened is this other group of Christians, somebody say other group. This other group, and they wanted to, they were Christians, but they were bringing in some wrong stuff. They were saying, hey, if you're going to be a Christian, you still have to be circumcised. You still have to keep all the rules. You still have to be good. You still have to do all this stuff. And even Peter fell for that. Even Peter started agreeing with these guys. So Paul hears word of it, and he tells them, oh, you foolish Galatians. And then I love the next part. He says, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you, or who has tricked you? And the New Living Translation we have up here, it says, who has cast an evil spell on you? He says, for the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. And then he asks this question. He says, let me ask you this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? And what he's saying, did you get born again because you followed all the rules and you were perfect? That's what he's asking them. He's saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying all the rules? He says, of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. And then he says, how foolish can you be? How many know if Paul says that to you, you probably need to listen. He says, how foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? And so when we see this, kind of what's going on here, and believe me, this is still happening in the church, where people are saying, you have to be good, you have to earn your relationship with Jesus. And here's how you know if you're kind of falling into that trap, you're listening to those other guys, is if you feel like that you don't receive the forgiveness of God based on what he's done, you receive it based on what you've done. That you have to, you know, if you have this kind of thinking like, I'm going to get serious with God as soon as I stop doing all this stuff. Anybody ever thought that? You know, I'm really going to get serious with God as soon as I quit messing around with this and, you know, doing this and doing this. As soon as I get my life together, then I'm going to get serious with God. See, if you have that mindset, you know what Paul would say to you? Oh, you foolish. He'd say, who has bewitched you, you foolish Floridians? Who has bewitched you? Because here's the thing. Paul's trying to tell them, and he teaches them all through the third chapter of Galatians, you can't do it on your own. You can't be good enough on your own. You can't be good enough. That's why we need Jesus. Amen. And if you take Jesus and then you say, hey, I got Jesus, but I still got to do this, 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 and this in order to get born again, you're mixing two different things that don't go together. We are saved, rescued, set free, forgiven, redeemed, restored, made righteous, not because of anything we've done. Really, in spite of everything we've done. Amen? How many of you ever really, really, really messed up? Now the rest of you are just lying in church. You're big liars. Now you messed up. I mean, we all have messed up. And another translation, I think it's really cool. It's great to read different translations because you don't get a different picture. You get a fuller picture. And I like another translation where it says, who has cast an evil spell on you? And if you take all those words and you pull them out in the Greek, you know, like get real fancy about it. One commentator said this. It's like they're saying, who has given you the evil eye? Anybody ever gotten the evil eye? Yeah. I grew up with 7 kids. I was the youngest of 7 kids. And all my dad had to do is go like this. And we would all be like, I mean, we just knew. Like, you know, that was the one more time and we're going outside, right? And we just knew. And we were smart, most of us, not all of us, but I was at least smart enough to be like, I gotcha. I got you. I'm good. But really what he's talking about here is Paul is saying what's happened is that now people are coming into the body, and because they look different, because their sin is maybe more obvious or it's different than yours, that people in the church, this other group of Christians, they were starting to look at those people like, what are you doing in here? What are you doing in here? They were starting to think that their human effort was better than their human effort. And see, when we start judging other people, that's exactly what we're doing. Because it's by the blood of Jesus, by the grace of God, that all of us get born again. Amen. Amen. We can't look at somebody and say, I don't think you go here. You don't belong here. You don't look like the rest of us. You don't act like the rest of us. You know, we're good and you're not. We can't act like that because Paul's going to say, somebody has bewitched you. Somebody's cast an evil spell on you when we start doing that. We need to look at everybody and say, you need exactly what I need, and that is the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen? So Paul starts telling them that, and he says, listen, how foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? He's saying, why are you forgetting about Jesus and all that he's done, and now you're trying to earn salvation by doing good, being good, giving money, doing whatever, serving the kids. That's not how we do that because of what Jesus has done for us, not to get him to do something for us. You get the difference? We serve the Lord because of what he's done, not to get him to do anything, because he's already done what he's going to do. He saved you. He saved you. And so Galatians 3, chapter 10 says this. He says, all who rely on observing the law. So let's just stop there for a second. When the Bible talks about the law, it's not talking about police officers, right? That's not what they're talking about. What they're talking about, how many remember the story about Moses? Really? Yes. The rest of you guys just grow up under a rock. You never saw the Ten Commandments. You never saw the movie. Come on. VeggieTales. Even VeggieTales.
Oh, I got it.
So like, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
No, I get it.
Yeah. Come on. Moses, the burning bush, Moses. All right. For those of you who don't know, so somebody might be here going, man, I really don't know. You're making me feel bad. That's all right. It's okay that you don't know. It's all right. I didn't know there was a second Peter until just not very long ago, all right? It's okay. So Moses, he's in the Old Testament. The Bible's cut in two. It's Old Testament and New Testament. We're in the New. How many like New better? Wow. Every time I go by, I know some of you guys, you love this place, but every time I go by World Thrift, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get it. I want new stuff. Every time I go there, when I get my iced tea at that McDonald's, that place is packed. It is packed, packed, packed. I'm like, what are they giving away in there? It's got missing something in there. But I want new stuff. I want to be in the New Testament, and I want new stuff, all right? That's just me. That's just me. So anyway, so there's the Old Testament, and that's where Moses was. And so Moses went up to the mountain, and he received from God 10 rules. Somebody's like, I've heard this story before. And it's all coming back to me. It was called 10 Commandments. Somebody's like, I got it. Okay. 10 Commandments. And so when they're talking about the law, it started with the 10 Commandments. And then because then people got involved, how many know when a lot of people get involved in something, it's going to get complicated. So they started adding to the 10 Commandments, and they had so many laws. They had a law about what hand to wash first. They had a law about what to do, when to do it, how. I mean, there was a law about everything. And there are people that still live under those laws. And so the thing about it was, when the Bible talks about the law, it's saying, listen, so here's the law. So now we know what that is. In Galatians chapter 3, he says, so the law, we remember what that was put in charge. Those were the rules they lived by to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. So here's what that means. So they have these rules, and they have all this going on. And Galatians 3:10 says, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything in the book of the law. Because here's what they learned, that nobody could keep all the rules. If we were to go around the room and say, have you broken the Big Ten at any time in your life, ever? Every one of us have done it. We've lied. We'll just leave it right there, all right? Just leave it there. Because that covers all of us, right? Covers all of us. And so when we look at that, so this is what's happened. See, this is what's happened. These people that knew Jesus, they're saying, listen, we have Jesus, but you still have to obey all those laws. And so Paul's coming and he's saying, listen, none of you were able to obey all the laws in the first place. Nobody can do it because nobody is perfect. And he said, and because you break one, you've broken all of them. And that's what James 2:10 says. He says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. I like what one guy said. He said, to be called a murderer, you only have to do it once. Think about that. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, I only broke one. No, the Bible says if you broke one, you broke them all. Because nobody's perfect. And so they ask a question. These guys in Galatians, they said, in verse number 19, they said, what then was the purpose of the law? Then what was the whole point of it? And that's when Paul says, he says, listen, the law was put in charge to lead us to Jesus. It was to show us that we can't do it on our own. No one here, if you're trying to do it on your own, you're missing the whole point of Jesus. Jesus came because you couldn't do it on your own. Amen. Amen? And so when they said, well, what's the deal with the law? Why do we even need this? Why did Moses do the whole deal? What's the point? It was to show us and to lead us down a road that says, listen, I can't do this. And it was to show us that we needed Jesus. Amen? And so Paul goes on to say, and he says, the law leads to Christ. In Galatians 3:24, I want everybody, don't be moving around. If you hear anything we say today, hear this. Galatians 3:24. This is it. Paul says, the law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us. Until, listen, we could be made right with God through faith. I want you to say this. Say, made right. A lot of people think that being a Christian means, oh, I'll be a Christian when I do right. Right? That's what a lot of people think. When I do right, then I can be a Christian. No, that's not how it works. The Bible says, it protected us until we could be made right. God isn't asking you to do right. He's telling you, I will make you right. Isn't that good? And see, that kind of blows the doors off and exposes all the wrong teaching that says, straighten up before you come to Jesus. You better straighten up. It kind of answers, you know, I was raised in a what's called a denominational church. That's what they're called. It's just a big group. And it was every Sunday. I felt like when I came in there, I had to get born again. Again. Because every week it was just all, this is how I felt. And it was a good, you know, the people loved God and I'm thankful for them because they led me. They showed me that I needed a savior. They showed me that. But I felt like after I received Jesus as my savior, that they kept pointing their finger and telling me all the things I did wrong. They kept making me feel like a sinner when Jesus said I had been transformed. It kept making me feel like it was my responsibility to move me out of darkness into light. And so I never felt free there. I always felt like I wasn't good enough. And maybe you had that experience. I don't know, but I had it. And so that's what these other Christians are trying to get the Galatians to do. And that's why Paul is so upset. That's why he's saying, who bewitched you? Who goofed you up? Who got you thinking wrong? Because it's not, I don't get saved because I'm good enough. I get saved and rescued and redeemed and restored and forgiven and loved and cared for because he's good enough. Amen? Amen? Because he's good enough. And so Paul's telling these guys, he's like, you need to get your act together and stop telling people this wrong thing. I don't have to do right for Jesus to love me. He loves me no matter what. And then he makes me right. When I get born again, I'm made righteous, the Bible says. When you get born again, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, not because of anything you did, but because of everything he did, all you got to do is believe it and receive it. He did the hard part. We'd say he did the heavy lifting, right? Yeah. All you got to do is believe it and say it. The Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. When I do that, I receive all of God's goodness and he makes me right. It says about his righteousness. You know what that means? That means in spite of anything that I do, I can stand before God in right standing. Isn't that good? And so enough of this making you feel like a loser every time you come to church. Let's preach the word that says that God is, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, he makes you an overcomer and he makes you righteous. I can come to God not because of what I've done, but all because of what he's done. And that's what Paul's trying to get through their heads here. And he says the law was our guardian until Christ came. It set some boundaries. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. Christianity isn't about doing right. It's about him making me right. It's about him changing me from the inside out. And see, here's the message is grace. God's grace. And here's what, I love this. I learned it when I was at Bible college. Grace is, listen, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. That spells grace, if you're with me. And so when we hear that, what that's doing is saying that because of what Jesus did, I receive the riches of God. But what the trap that we fall into, and a lot of times the American church falls into, we think, I gotta be good enough to get what God has for me. As long as I do enough good things, or if I have the 51% rule, if I do more good things than I do bad things, then I'm good. That's not right. It's not truth. Jesus did all the good things, and I get the riches because of what he did. Amen? That's God's grace. So let me teach you a couple things about grace here. Number one is grace is a free gift. Say it's free.
Free.
It's how many love a free gift? Yeah. Everybody loves a free gift. Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody needs to say, thank God for a good but and a comma. Amen? Because if we didn't have that, it would just say this. The wages of sin is death. Not a period there. We already made it a fact that all of us have at least lied. All of us. Somebody got that crazy haircut, and you're like, oh, I like it. I do. Looks good. Your wife says, does this make me look fat? No, no, never. Right? I mean, we've all done it. And it's not right. But let's just be honest and say we've probably all done it. And so the wages of sin is death. If there was a period there, we'd all be in trouble because we've all messed up. But there's a comma. And then there's a but. And you know what the word but does? It says whatever was just said, I'm going to make it different.
Right.
I love that. Whatever you just said, but it's all going to change. And that's exactly what happened. He says, the wages of sin is death. Say it with me. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we receive eternal life? Through Christ Jesus. Not from doing good. Not from being good, through Jesus. And that's why when somebody tells you, man, you invite them to church, and they say, man, I can't go to church. If I go to church, the walls are going to fall in. Be like, you know what? So what if they do? They're not going to. And I always say they're not going to. Look around. If that was going to happen, it would have happened. Amen? Right? I mean, look around. We got some different people in here. Look at me. I'm here. Still standing. And so that's not going to happen. When people say that, you say, listen, you're just like everybody else. Say, my church is filled with people that got some really crazy past. My church is filled. My church is filled. I always pray, Lord, I thank you that my church does not look like me. I don't want people to look just like me. I want every, because I got my own sins. I got my own struggles. I got stuff that I've been through. And you know what? So do you. I want every different kind of issue represented here, because you know what? Jesus covers everyone. And if you came in here and we all looked the same and dressed the same and sounded the same and talked the same, you'd be like, I don't belong here. But you can look around in this church and you can be like, I see somebody like me over there, you know, or I see somebody like me over there. Because Jesus is for everyone.
Amen.
Amen? And that's the thing, the grace of God, it's for all of us. And that's the next thing, grace is received by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, that it is not from yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not from you. It is the gift of God, not by works, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, if you start thinking like, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, then what you're saying is that it's by works, it's by your effort. And he's saying, listen, it's not by that. Because, listen, no matter how good you are, if it was by works, no matter how much good you did, no matter how many great things you accomplished, no matter how wonderful you were, there'd always be somebody in the crowd that would say, I don't think that's good enough. Wouldn't there? There'd always be somebody. And that's why it's not by that. You know, I was telling first service that I saw this. I love the Olympics. How many are Olympics crazy? You're just Olympics crazy. I love the Olympics. I love seeing people accomplish their life dreams. I love that in church, and I love that everywhere. I just love to see people just live out their dream. And you know, there was this article on the news, and it was Michael Phelps is not the greatest of all time. And I didn't even read the article. I was like, I am not even going to read this article. I am not even going to click on it because my click matters. You know? My click matters. I don't want whoever this guy is that wrote this article to be like, oh, look how many people read my article because everybody clicked on it. I was like, I'm not even going to click because this is ridiculous. Michael Phelps has more gold medals than some countries. And he's one person. I mean, even if you don't think he's the greatest of all time, why would you say that? Why not just rejoice in his victory, right? But here's the thing. That's human nature. Human nature will always say, that's not enough, that's not enough, that's not enough, that's not enough. And that's why if you start thinking that you have to be good, do good, and all that stuff in order to be born again, there's always going to be somebody to come around and say, that's not enough. You gave a million? Sorry, you got to give two. You built an orphanage? Sorry, you got to build two. Somebody would always be saying that, and that's why the Bible is very clear. All through the New Testament, the message is Jesus died to pay for your sin. You don't have to pay for them. The bill's been paid. And that's what Paul's writing here. He says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. None of us can say, look what I did to get saved. Look how wonderful I am to get saved. No, that would be boasting. All of us have to say, look what Jesus did to save me. Amen. The next thing is grace is available to everybody. Everybody. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If somebody has told you that God doesn't love you because of how you look, because of how you live, because of what you've done, that doesn't line up with the Bible. Because the Bible says, everyone. If everyone got up and left this church right now, who would be left? Nobody. Because everyone moved. And so when the Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, that means everyone. Everyone has the opportunity to call on Jesus. And that means we can't say, because you did that, no, Jesus doesn't love that, you're out. Oh, you believe, you're out. You're definitely out. You know, you are for sure out. No, everyone. Grace is available for everyone. So don't let anybody who obviously doesn't know the word tell you that God doesn't love you, that Jesus didn't die for you. Because the Bible says from the very beginning to the end that God loves everyone. Amen? And then grace comes only through Jesus. That's the only way to get it. There's no other way. You know, a lot of people say, well, all roads lead to God. Well, actually, that's a true statement. All roads do lead to God. But once you get there, there's a question. There's a question. And that's when roads split. Because all of us will stand before God one day. Every one of us. But the question will be, did you receive Jesus?
Yes.
Because only Jesus leads to salvation. Do you know that God, that Jesus, the God of Christianity, Jesus, he's the only God in all the other, whoever you want to call God. And you can study this. He's the only one who did it for you. Every other religion, every other God, little God, every other one who calls himself God, they want you to do it. You got to do this, 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 and this. Then we'll let you in. But Jesus said, I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. I'll pay the price for you. I'll die for you. He's the only one. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's the truth. You can look it up. Jesus is the only one that said, come unto me all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's the only one that said that. He's the only one that said that he would go to the cross and die for us. He's the only one that said, I'll pay the price for your sin. Everybody else wants you to pay for it. But Jesus said, I'll pay for it. Grace only comes through Jesus. John 1:7 says, for the law was given through Moses, all those rules, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth only come through him. Eternity with God in heaven only comes through him. And then the last thing, grace is extended through eternity. It never ends. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The grace of God has no expiration date. It is always. Amen? It is always. Here's what the grace of God does. It changes us from the inside out. It reminds us how much God loves us, and it helps us to not try to do it on our own, but allow the grace of God to work through us. And Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, it shows us the result of grace. Because sometimes when people start hearing the message of grace and the message of forgiveness and all that Jesus did, we're kind of like, all right, now, this sounds like a party, so I can do whatever I want, and there's no consequences or anything. Listen, you can do whatever you want. That's totally your choice. And God will love you through whatever you do. And his forgiveness is available through anything. The Bible says that when we miss it, we can go right to him. He says he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we take it to him. But here's the result of true grace. Here's the result of finally realizing that you don't have to do all the work. It's found right here. How many like those home improvement shows? Anybody like those? Like Fixer Upper or While You Were Out or, you know, Home Built the Crasher show. You know, I love those shows. And what I do is I see the before. I see the before. I look at it. I'm like, okay. And then I just fast forward to the end. And then if I like the end, I might watch how they did it. Maybe. But I'm just like, all right. Bzz, okay. I want to see what happened. But you know what? If you could see me before, if you could see me, and some people in here knew me way back then. If you could see me 30 years ago, broken, always trying. I was always trying. I'd get into church and I'd be like, man, this is it. This time's going to stick. This is it. I'll see you Sunday. I'll be there Sunday. And then my friend would call, hey. And I'd be like. And then I'm out. And then I'd just be racked with guilt and shame, and I would just feel bad. And then, you know, it was constant. I wanted a relationship with God. I wanted to be free from these things. That's what Galatians is all about, being free from the stuff that keeps dragging you back in. It's got that flesh coating on it. And it drags you. It seems so appealing and wonderful in the moment. But then after it's done, you're like, ugh. Why did I do that? And I know that's probably nobody in here, but that was me. You know, it just seems so great. It seems like such a great idea in the moment. And then it's fun, you know, because even the Bible says that sin is fun, you know, but it's fun for a season. And I just kept always getting at the end of my season. And I just have, it just, and I would just be like, I would focus so much on what I was doing wrong. I'd be like, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that anymore. I can't do that anymore. Stop doing that. Then I would do it. And they'd be like, oh, I can't believe I did that again. You know? And I would stay out of church because I felt bad. I'd be like, I can't go to church. Look what I'm doing. Right? I can't go to church because people will give me the evil eye. They'll ask me where I've been. Why haven't I been in church? I don't have to look at him and say, because I've been out sinning. Listen, if somebody hasn't been in church for a while, don't ask them where they've been. Because you don't want to know the answer. I remember one time, finally, I just looked at this little lady. She was like, where have you been? Aren't you the pastor's sister? I was like, I've been out sinning, living for the devil. She was like, she never asked me that question again. That's a true story. I was like, you ask me this every time. You know where I've been. But it was just a struggle. Man, it was a struggle. I didn't understand grace. I kept trying to be good enough for Jesus. I kept trying to be to tackle things on my own. But I thank God that somebody had the nerve to say to me, oh, foolish Peggy, what is wrong with you? Come on now. And this is what they told me, because all I focused on was what I did. All I focused on was what I did. And it made me feel bad. It made me feel shameful. And it just was terrible. And they said, quit focusing on what you did. And I would tell people, they'd say, you know, my brother would say, what's your problem? And I'd be like, I have a sin problem. I have a problem with sin. I keep doing it. And I can't stop. I've got a sin problem. And then finally, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, there's no such thing as a sin problem. And if you were ever in my youth group, you've heard me say this a million times. There's no such thing as a sin problem. A sin problem is just a byproduct of a relationship problem. That's all it is. Quit focusing on what you're doing and start focusing on what he's done. And that's what I finally did. I had all these favorite things, these sins that I had, and I loved them. They were fun, and I felt my identity was in them, and I felt like I wouldn't have any friends if I let them go. And I'd just be like, oh, you're so cute, little sin. You know, I mean, I liked them. I wanted to sin. That's just the truth. But as I began to look at what Jesus did for me and not focus on what I did, I just started moving closer to him. I quit focusing on trying so hard, and I started focusing on what he did. And as I did that, stuff just started falling off me. Hurts, and really like a stronghold. Strongholds were just falling off me. And next thing you know, I look back and I'm like, whew, look at that. I don't even want to do that stuff anymore. It changed me. And that's what Titus tells me. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Here's a good part. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Here's what grace does. It says it changes me from when my ought to, because how many have ever heard somebody where you're just sitting there and some self-righteous person who loves you and means well, but all they keep telling you is everything you ought to do. Anybody ever been there? And what happens? You just put the windows up and you're just like, you get that stare like, and in your mind you're like, please stop talking. Please just stop talking, right? Because you're not receiving it because people telling you isn't going to do it. Drawing close to Jesus is going to do it. Yeah, right. But here's what happened to me. Because I sat and, listen, I was in the hot seat. I got two brothers that are pastors. I was in the hot seat a lot. And they're just like, you need to do this and you ought to do that. And I was just like, ugh. Right? I thank God that as I grew close to him, my ought to became my want to. Yeah. It wasn't because somebody kept shaking their finger in my face. It was because I made a choice to stop focusing on my actions and focus on him. So listen, if you're like me and you like sin, let's just be real. There's a time in our lives when we might be there and we just can't seem to get break it, and we just keep trying and trying and feeling like failures and feeling shame and guilt. Listen, you don't have a sin problem. It's a relationship problem. Forget about what you're doing. My brother told me, my brother Mark, he said, listen, I don't care what you do in the next 30 days. I don't care who you're with. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you ingest. I don't care. You keep coming to church. You read your Bible and you listen to this. And he gave me a Brother Hagin tape series. He goes, no matter what you do that, will you do that? I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And as I did that, I just kept moving closer to Jesus. Amen. In those 30 days, I would love to tell you that I straightened up immediately and I never went anywhere else and I never did anything. I would love, but that is not my story. It was probably on day 31, I was still doing stuff. Probably day 60, I was still doing stuff. But here's the thing. I just kept focusing on Jesus. And in time, all that stuff fell off. Ooh, yes. Stop trying to do it on your own. You're not equipped. You're not made to do it on your own. That's what the grace of God is for. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, if there's anyone here with the sound of my voice, that if they've never made you their Lord and Savior, they've never just given up and said, Jesus, I need you to rescue me. I need forgiveness. I need power to live this life. And I want to know that I know that I know that when I do stand before God, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when they say, what did you do with my son? I'll say, I received him. He was my Lord and my Savior. If you're here today and you've never done that, but today's your day. Today's your day to say yes to Jesus. Today's your day to forget all those past failures, all that stuff that's happened before. Forget all that. Start fresh today. Start fresh today with your relationship. It's not about the rules. It's about the relationship with Jesus. So how do I do that? We're going to do a couple things. Number one, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Because when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. You're saying, Lord, here I am. See me. See me as I come to you. It's an act. And when the enemy comes and says, you didn't do anything, you can say, oh, yes, I did. I raised my hand. God saw me. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and then I'm going to ask you to say a prayer, and we're all going to say it with you. And then the last thing I'm going to ask you is at the end of the service, if you would be bold, everybody's going to be doing their own thing. If you'd be bold and come down and just let us give you some information to help you on this journey. But it all begins with saying yes to Jesus. Don't let yourself talk yourself out of doing it. You need God because you can't do it on your own. And so if you're here today with nobody looking around, now's not the time to get a mint. Now's not the time to put your stuff away. Now's the time to be praying for anyone in this room who needs Jesus. And so if you're here today and you say, Peggy, I want to receive Jesus right now. I don't want to live another day without Jesus. Just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I need Jesus. I see your hand in the back, man. Anybody else, say, that's me. That's me. Thank you, Lord. I see your hands, guys. Anybody else? Say, I'm tired of doing it on my own. I see your hands. Tired of doing it on my own. I need the grace of God. I see your hand back there, man. Anybody else before I move on? Lots of hands going up. Thank you, Lord. All right, now let's all say this prayer together. You can put your hand down. Let's all say this prayer with them. Say, Father God, I recognize. I cannot be good enough or do enough to earn salvation. But I know I need it. I need forgiveness. I need power. And I need to know that I know I'm on my way to heaven to meet Jesus. And so today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, all for me. I believe it. I confess it. So I'm born again. Saved. On my way to heaven. I am made righteous. I have been made right. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo! God's so good. He's so good. He loves you so much. Now listen, remember there was one more thing. Don't leave here without coming down and seeing one of the guys or gals on the front. We just have a little packet we want to give you. We want to say, welcome to the family. We want to give you a hug and say, hey, we're glad you're here. This is not a journey to do on your own. Amen. You need family. You need church family to help you. And that's what we're here for. And we just want, you know, listen, all, you don't say, oh, I don't want everybody to know. I just got saved. Listen, all of us just got saved one day. Amen. Yeah. All of us. And so we rejoice with you. There's no evil eyes here. And if somebody gives you one, let me know so I can smack them around. We don't put up with that. We don't put up with that. That's not cool. And so if just come down, don't talk yourself out of it. Come down, get a little packet. And it's got some stuff that's going to help you. Amen? All right, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Who's ready?